today. Okay, let's get started. For the last day of the conference, and today is designated as a workshop on tools and methods. And what I hope we can do today is we'll be hearing about a number of different tools and methods from the presenters, but at the end of the day we have a panel. And the panel really is a group of people who are going to provoke you, I hope, into a discussion. So the panelists themselves may not have to have so much, don't be too worried about having too much to say, but hopefully can throw around some ideas. And it would be great if we could come out of the day with some criteria, some ideas about things that we need, and we could put them onto a blog, and then other people can cite that and perhaps use it as the basis for future programming efforts and projects. So it gives me great pleasure to introduce Sasha Arkhipov from Moscow State University. He's part of a team there called LangDoc. If you haven't seen their work, I think Kibrick is the leader of the
group. Yeah, he has been the leader.
Yeah. So it's spelled longer, as in French, doc. And Sasha has been involved in working with Archi and Hinaluk, and other languages, but has a particular interest in sort of XML tools. He's worked with Sasha Nakimovsky and Tom Myers and presented a number of different approaches over the years. Going back, I can see here, back to 2006, tools for extracting information from Toolbox, making it useful, and then putting it back into Toolbox, something that I think most of us who work with Toolbox would really appreciate. And he's also published on endangered languages issues of various kinds, quite a long list, and including reviewing the Himmelmann-Gippert book, Essentials of Language Documentation. So today he's going to be talking to us about the use of XML technologies in language documentation workflows. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Nick and Linda, and all the Paradisic staff for the honor to be invited here to present here. And let me give a welcome to you on part of the Moscow Archive. Just a couple of words. Our department, Department of Theoretical and Applied Linguistics, which exists since 1960, has conducted quite a lot of field work in minority languages of the USSR since 1967. And for this and much of other things, we are indebted to Alexander Evgeniyevich Kibrick, who passed away last year. Our main destinations have been Caucasus, and especially the languages of Dagestan, but also Kamchatka, Siberia, Volga region, and the Far East, and also the Far North. So about all over the place. Now we've got an archive whose roots are in the project that Nick just mentioned. It was an NSF-funded project, Five Languages of Eurasia, led by Alexander Nechimovsky. And its goal was to create audio-video documentation for several selected languages. And in 2008, we actually bought a server to host our data, and we're now a regional archive of the MPI Nijmegen Dobis funded archive, and hosting data not only for our own project but also for a number of teams in Moscow and elsewhere, not only for minority languages, but also for Russian intonation and Russian sign language, and hope to keep growing. What I'll be talking about is XML and related technologies, not only in strictly language documentation. Don't take it as restrictive, but it's just what we have used it for mostly, but evidently it's good for any kind of language related stuff. I'll start with a brief overview of XML related things, then I'll give you some examples of what we have been doing with the help of XSL transformations, I'll talk a bit about the challenges for a general interlinear format, which could serve as a medium between various tools, in particular about having dynamic kind of annotations within such a format or within such tools. So there will be lots of unpronounceable acronyms, don't worry. I can't pronounce them myself, so if you have just enough of that, tell me and I'll show you photos from the field. So, during the last years, XML formats became really ubiquitous. You find them not only in general purpose tools like Microsoft Word or OpenOffice and LibreOffice and other Office applications, but also in a bunch of specialized tools, including, but not limited to, what you see here, multimedia annotators, phonetic analysis tools, lexicon and interlinear text-related tools, and so on. Well, I should have put Artbuild here. You can continue the list yourself, probably. Well, for those of you who probably have not taken a look at what is XML, if there are such people, it's something like this. And it's just a form to represent structured data, not as a table, but as some hierarchy of nested tags. What are the advantages of such formats for us? Well, once it already happens, even without our effort, it's an open standard format. It's viewable and editable in just like any text editor. It's readable and understandable by human to a certain extent. As a format, it is readable. It doesn't mean that you understand every detail of the file you're looking at. It can grow really huge. It has transparent structure. Structure is what it's made for. And another thing is that each user or group of users or project or tool can invent and use their own format or text set to fit their needs. The weaknesses of XML are mostly the same things just listed here. For example, verbosity. high processing time, which comes from verbosity and complex structure, and also the need for conversion tools, because there are too many XMLs around there. What could possibly be done with that? Well, not so much for verbosity. You can just try to keep your format more compact. There are some alternatives which are not properly XML but could help in some circumstances. What could be done with high processing time? I would mention the approach employed by Stephen Moran, who has recently defended a PhD on a phonetic typological database, which is called Foible. And he uses three different formats to represent the whole data of the database, which are automatically generated from one another and used. Each one is tuned for various purposes. So he has just plain tab delimited text file and relational database tables and XML representations, which allow to make certain logic-related things. Now, what can be done with the multitude of formats? What can be suggested? I just mentioned Hans Lutjes, the developer of Elan, because we've talked about that about a month ago. But that can be a natural movement. For each type of data, like dictionaries, lexical data, or interlinear text, or some other things, it could be wise to have a general standard format, and each tool should be able to export in this standard format and import into its own homemade format, which is arguably better than have pairwise conversions between each pair of tools. What else I like particularly about XML things is that now, for most of the time, the entire workflow can go within XML without much external conversions, at least. What's listed here is a not so rarely encountered way to proceed. Before the XML, I'd say. You start typing your data in Word, then you go to Toolbox to annotate, to do morphing glosses. Then what you store is plain text format, maybe it's Toolbox. Now you want to put it onto the web. You need to make something to get a good displayable HTML page. But how can you search over those Toolbox originating XML HTML pages? Well, it's either plain text search or maybe structured search if you put it into a MD archive, which can search across Toolbox, but still it's not so widely available. Then as soon as you want to change something in your data, you found a typo, or you want to change your glossing for a couple of word forms, then you go back to Toolbox and you start from the beginning. And when you want to reuse your data in an article, say, you need some conversion again to get into Word, and these are conversions between very different formats, which can be tricky. Well, what other things you can encounter is, say, if you work with something like tables or databases, you can type your data still in some Word or Excel, then you load it into a database, and you need to have some HTML and PHP to make it accessible, to retrieve your data. You can update it there, but still you've got something to do when you want to reuse these data. What is nice about XML is that now you can almost entirely stay within XML formats, starting with Office applications, and you can analyze data in ELAN or Fieldworks and get XML, and you can use native XML databases to store just that, and you can have nice web pages created with XSL transforms which are also XML, so on and so on. Well, the only thing here which is not properly XML is XQuery, which is a language for querying XML data. One more advantage is the possibility to rather easily go to RDF representations. While this is an issue when you already have a bulk of data which are ready to be published, to be accessible to other users, and RDF allows you to first to apply some logical computational devices to produce new data just based on what you have in your data and some statements about the nature of the relations between them. For this, you need to have an ontology which will state that, well, a verb is a part of speech, and a transitive verb is a kind of verb, and so on and so on. And then, contrary to just a database which can have all these informations in various parts, you can have automatically add new knowledge, new statements, just based on the logical relationship between the existing ones. And also, what is important is that RDF allows mapping between different resources so that they become interoperable. And say, if I have a corpus of texts in Archie, and Stephen Morton has a phonological inventory of Archie in his database, and if we both have RDF descriptions of the of those data, a user can get both by searching on Archie and related things, and he could possibly look for words containing lateral ejectives in my Archie corpus, for instance. This relates to the initiative called Linguistic Linked Open Data, and I think it's a good thing to worry about, at least for the future, to make all our resources created by different teams with different purposes interoperable and accessible. Wow. Okay. I'll skip things because.
If you want to have questions, I think.
Okay. I'll skip things here. I'll just show a couple of. A couple of things that we did use XSL transformations for. The thing is that during our project we had to use different tools which changed along the way, so we had to pass between different formats there and back again, and XSL was quite helpful in that. So in the beginning we had Box Reader, which took data out of Toolbox and put it into HTML, and I created an XSL to get into OpenOffice so that we could use the normal Office tools for collaborative work, for reviewing and comments, and then put it back into HTML. We are doing things like rearranging tiers, inserting additional tiers, inserting time offsets, moving infixes, which Toolbox places outside of the root. We forced them to go back to where they belong, and merging multiple tables into one big table, and so on. Flex came around into wide use, and we switched to Flex, and so we started using the Flex XML format for interlinear. And here again we had quite a number of transforms for various purposes. Well, including ones that that created ELAN files, which could be subsequently time aligned in ELAN, and also we used to have our Word documents transformed into Flex format. Which Flex did not yet import at the moment, but still we could continue to go to get on into ELAN, and now we can also import them into Flex, and I'll just show a couple of how do our Word files look. Well, in the beginning there was a toolbox which looked something like this. And the Well, this is the output of the box reader, which is HTML on basis of those things. And what we have done is like this, which is a nice editable Word document with every line having its own style, which serves as the basis for conversion. And so we could mark up things with different colors and so on, and then just have them nicely imported into what we need. And what we've done recently is this. This is a text which was transcribed and translated by our Archie consultant, who is a very talented young lady. And so we gave her a Word template with buttons for different styles, which produced the tables and all the lines needed, and she just transcribed the audio and typed in the translations and her comments. Here you have the literal translation and this is the free translation. This is the literal translation, and now with the help of the XSL, we just import that into our Fieldworks project to work on that further. Well, what remains to do is to make it easily customizable for our own use or for external use, to just at least to be able to put the necessary style names and to link them to the languages and writing systems that you need. Well, now a couple of words about the interlinear format. There are a couple of slides that some of you have already seen, but what I want to tell to focus on now will come in the end. Yeah, this is a picture that I had, which was entitled "A Bundle of X's," with the intended meaning that in order to correctly represent an interlinear text, sometimes you need more than one axis or basic representation. Say you can have audio with transcription linked to audio, but alongside that you can have, say, a normalized text which you would like to use for grammatical analysis, which can be very different from your transcription. And these are different things that need to be interrelated at some point, but then have their own trees of analysis linked to them. Well, and
just some
different kinds of X's, yeah, including probably graphic representations or sign languages translated into spoken languages or other things. Well, what other challenges are there for representing interlinear? There are quite a number of them listed here, but I'll just name a few. The multiple analysis is what lacks for many people in such tools as Fieldworks, where you need to choose one correct analysis at each moment, even if you now can see that there are some alternatives, probably. Nonlinear markup, connections with RDF and Link Open Data. And what I would like to focus on briefly is the dynamic annotations. What I mean is sort of what you have in Excel, which what makes Excel so such a powerful tool, which still looks very simple. This is the ability to have formulas which evaluate to something while you work on that. I think this is what should be done for annotations as well, and this would really boost up efficiency of annotation and analysis. Eventually facilitating the other things mentioned earlier. So you could start getting new data while marking them up in some way. What I mean, for instance, linking to another annotation. Yeah. If you want to study agreement or an anaphora in your text, yeah, it's quite natural to just to drag your mouse and to point to another word to which the pronoun refers, say. Now I can only print out the page and draw a line on paper, which is not very useful. But this raises a problem of what does it mean to have the same annotation? What happens to my links and references if I edit the text? To what extent can I edit the text to keep links still valid? Well, that's a complex issue. Well, you can have lookup expressions like lookup part of speech or translation or grammatical data in the lexicon, which is in fact what Fieldworks does, and which kind of possible for ELAN now, but this in Fieldworks it's not customizable, at least, and you can possibly want to have quite a lot of different lines and data inserted into your text from the lexicon or otherwise. Well, so different kinds of numeric expressions like counts or differences in tone height between the start and the end of the segment, or distance in words between a pronoun and a referent, and whatever. Various string expressions and functions. Some of them could be quite technical, like replacing caps with small caps, but they can be quite more meaningful, like calculating syllable patterns on basis of the transcription, or converting between various transcriptions, and so on. Also, you can think of expressions creating multiple annotations, like tokenize a sentence into words. Again, a crucial point is that you should be able to create your tokenizing expression, which should be configurable. You could just store that alongside the plain literal value within your interlinear text, for example, and much like you can do in Excel. Yeah, you have formulas which are saved in the document, and they can be calculated anew or frozen to get just the plain value. Now come the question of how to merge data between various applications. Say, if I time align my data in ELAN, then go to Flex to do glossing, and then remake my time alignment updated. I should be able to merge the data, given that the two applications could possibly use only a subset of the whole big complex representation of the interlinear. And for this, you need to have keep track of annotation identities with some sort of identifiers. Now there are GUIDs built in Flex, but at some moments they change completely and you lose your reference. So it should be a complex and well thought of mechanism, which I just sketch to give a sketch here. So what does it mean that your annotation, say transcription of a sentence, remains the same over the multiple continuous edits of the text? What happens if you just edit a word or move the time border or whatever? There are some clear cases which mean that you got a new distinct annotation and your link is to it is no longer valid, you can have quite some unclear cases when which are most probably to be signaled to the user for him to make notice and to go and check whether his links are still valid, like the partial edit of a text, or of time position. Say, what happens to your annotations if you shift all the times by 4 seconds? Do you still have the same annotations, or are they different? And how can you possibly have an algorithm to sort between same and different cases? Well, I think it could be thought of it could be probably dealt with some kind of version attribute appended to the global identificator for each annotation, but is that feasible to have versions for each small tiny piece of data? Well, this is something to think about. Well, and what is our to-do list? Well, the first one is, find programmers and permanent funding. As Linda was saying on the first day, on the first presentation. What I'd like to study further is creating samples of full format and experimenting with them. Also, we can have we can think of other applications, and probably we will have some funding the coming year to start doing those things. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Sasha. So we have a few minutes for questions.
Thanks, Sasha. It's fascinating. It strikes me that one way of thinking about the model we're working towards is that our basic data model should be standoff annotation in something like graph or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of XML tools you're talking about allow us to pull out bundles of annotation that are relevant to particular tools that we want to work with at any given moment. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it makes sense. Because really, it seems that that not any particular tool needs all of the info. Yeah, so it makes sense to be able to get a part of that, change it and merge back into the general repository. Yeah.
You talked about RDF as a way of modelling this, but we've just had some experience with the Honey project here, which is Humanities Networked mm-hmm. Infrastructure, and really found that RDF, with a very small amount of data, soon becomes completely unmanageable because you're generating so many relationships between so many different points. So if you're really doing it with a large corpus of textual material, it could become quite difficult. Have you actually tried it with a large...
No.
Yeah, everybody. I think it's a nice idea in principle, but
we have to wait for some more manageable analog of RDF to come around. Yeah.
Question.
Yeah.
One thing I found quite interesting was you were talking about doing quite complex queries and embedding those into XML. And presumably doing this via XQuery and XPath, those kind of technologies to deliver the processing on XML. Having worked in something similar in the past, I found that doing this in XLST is just very unuser-friendly and not very flexible to do it. Isn't a better solution to do this in a general purpose processing language that can work with XML nicely? You know, Python modules or Java libraries or something like that?
Yes, probably. Well, I find that XQuery is much more easy to manage than XSL. So it is more compact and, it will be better just by itself, but yes, you can probably have external tools. Why I mentioned this option is that you still stay within the same realm, you know, and now you have native XML databases which are. Rather mature, and they offer the possibilities to handle all the tasks from data input to querying to publishing via forms and HTML pages, and all this can be bundled in one web application. Well, I think it's at least worth considering. Maybe other tools will be needed. I think it just should be tested.
These are the sorts of things we can get back to in the discussion later on, and more interesting things as well. Maybe one more question.
Just a comment. I'm not a programmer. I'm a user of linguistic software.